This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد أن نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. There's a hadith that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is both in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sab'atun yadhilluhum Allah fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluhu." That there are seven categories of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade on the Day of Judgment. There are seven categories of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade on the Day of Judgment, or provide shade for them on the Day of Judgment. The day there is no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shade of Allah here refers to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These seven categories, the hadith lists them one after the other. And I'll list them all out for you initially, and then we'll talk a little bit about what some of the benefits are in these seven categories and how we can hope to be, inshallah, in all of them. Number one is Imamun Adil, a just ruler. Number two, Shabun Nasha'a fi ibadatillah, a young person who grew up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, Rajulun qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masajid, a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Whose heart is literally attached to the masjid. Number four, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعْ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Their relationship is built upon the brotherhood or sisterhood of Islam. That's why they meet and that's why they separate. Number five, رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُمْ رَأَى ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A man, in this example, who a woman of beauty and status, someone that everybody seeks out and wants, that kind of a person or that kind of a woman invites him to have intercourse, invites him to do this shameless act outside of marriage. In the confines of marriage, of course, it is praiseworthy and is an act of worship. This is understandably outside the confines of a marriage. And this person, while being tempted, doesn't give in to the temptation. And he says, "Inni akhaf Allah, I fear Allah, I cannot engage in this action. I fear the accountability that I have to give in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Number six, رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَّقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُ. A person who gives charity. And when he gives charity, he does it so secretively that, as a figure of speech, his left hand does not know what his right hand is spending. The figure of speech here is to show hyperbole, because your hands are connected to your body, right? It's actually physically impossible for one hand to do something while the other does not know. But when it's given as an example, metaphorically, it shows that even the closest person to you will have no idea that you're doing this. This is something literally nobody on the face of the earth will know that you did, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything. That's the idea. Giving charity so secretively, literally nobody knows about it. And number seven is رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. A person who remembered Allah in a moment of silence, in a moment of seclusion. Nobody is watching. And in that moment of seclusion, after remembering Allah, the tears of fear of Allah, the tears out of the hope of Allah's mercy, swell up in his eyes or her eyes, and they fall. That is a person who is also included in this. Seven people, seven categories of people. All of these, as you notice, are people who are not named. These are categories. So all of us can be in one or more of these categories. And that's the incentive that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is providing us here. That these categories are there so that we can aim to be of this. This is not something, excuse me, this is something that is well understood from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and from the actions of the Sahaba. For example, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once was explaining that there are eight gates to paradise, or seven gates to paradise. And then he said, a person could enter from this gate because of this good deed or that good deed. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq asked, can someone be, you know, invited from all gates? And the Messenger said, yes, and I hope you're one of them. To show that these kinds of incentives are provided so that we can have a variety of good deeds that we do, a variety of reasons to shoot for the ultimate prize, which is paradise. The idea of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more precisely, is because it's pertinent. There's something in Arabic called al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, right? This is an axiom in the Sharia, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you from the category or a proportional reward to your sacrifice. So for example, if a person is chaste, they have made sure that they hold back desires and they have not committed any type of action that is shameless, then the reward for them will be of that proportional category in Jannah. That pleasure that they withheld from themselves will be given to them in Jannah. If somebody withheld from themselves the pleasure of alcohol, drinking alcohol and having a good time, then the jaza is the alcohol of Jannah, the wine of Jannah that does not intoxicate and does not cause a person to lose their senses. You see, this is something that we find in the Sharia as the reward for the Akhirah, and also in like the punishments of the dunya. Both of these things are go hand in hand. So the seven that Allah shades on the Day of Judgment, the reward is synchronized with their sacrifices. The person who is standing up for justice will have to face lots of enemies, and will make lots of enemies, and will offend lots of people. Right? You know, it's being a person who is just, a leader who is just, you will not have many friends. If you want to make friends, you should sell ice cream or something. But if you want to be somebody who does the right thing, people probably will not like you, historically speaking. And this was true not only for like great leaders in the past, but even the Sahaba, even the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Munafiqun did not like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were people who did not like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and would come to Umar and criticize Umar. You see, these are the greatest people of all time. But when you are a just ruler, inevitably you will have enemies. Standing up for justice, that is the cause of much heat in the dunya, so Allah provides shade in the akhirah. For somebody to grow up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their youth, as a young person, the temptations are everywhere. The temptations are everywhere. This person took shelter in the religion of Allah. This person sheltered themselves, kept away from something that was impermissible, while accessible, it's there, very easy to get, but they kept themselves away from it. That reward for them, the reciprocal reward, is going to be that Allah will shade them when nobody else will have a shade. Just like they shaded themselves from temptations in this dunya, Allah will shade them on the Day of Judgment when other people will not have that cover. There's a very beautiful symmetry in all of these categories. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That's one thing to realize. A lot of these categories, there's a lot to say about them. Obviously, we don't have time to discuss everything. But I'll comment on a few. A young person growing up in the worship of Allah, and a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. By the way, when I'm seeing the word in the hadith is rajulun qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masajid, or rajulan tahabba fillah, or rajulun tasaddaqa bi sadaqatin, it's literally a man. But as the scholars of hadith describe this, as Ibn Hajar, for example, explains it, he says this word rajul is used as an example. It's not only meant for men. This applies for a man and a woman equally. If a sister is tempted, a girl is tempted by a man, and she says, I can't do this for the fear of Allah, she has the same reward. You know, this is something that in Islam we have, that the reward for a man and a woman in the Akhirah is the same. So, like Ibn Hajar says, you know, the word rajul his here has la mafhuma lahu, yani this is not meant literally to be a man or a woman. It is something to give you an example. A young person growing up in the worship of Allah while having all sorts of temptations, this is one of the most difficult things to do. One of the most difficult things. If you think this was hard back in the time, if you think this was hard in different places, in the areas where there's masajid and adhan is given out loud and on the loudspeakers, it is much harder here in Canada, here in Toronto. Much, much harder. Because the temptations are all over the place. They're literally all over the place. And even more accessible than in the past. Very easy to get somebody to hook up with somebody. Very easy to do something that's haram. Very easy to find somebody who will lead you into the path of drugs. Very easy to get a drink from somewhere. No one's gonna question what you're doing. Very easy to kind of like just slip in the shadows and find yourself, you know, disguised among all the different types of people. You don't have to stand out. It's very easy to do all of these things. It's very difficult, on the other hand, to stand out as a Muslim, practicing, wearing a hijab for a sister, wearing your beard and your clothes of modesty as a man, lowering your gaze and not checking people out. You will stand out. If you stand in an elevator and you're not looking at people, people think you're weird. If you're at the gym and you're not looking at people, people think that this is something, person, maybe something's wrong with them. It's very difficult to live the chaste life that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is describing here, because the temptations are literally everywhere. So as a person who is going through some difficulties, as a young person, take heart in that your sacrifices will not go unnoticed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows every single type of sacrifice you make, every single difficulty you have to put up with, and every one of those moments that you have to hold yourself back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and recording, and your reward is guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste the reward of those who are doing good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is something we have to understand, and we have to, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's 100%. 100%. It's very difficult for a young person to grow up worshipping Allah if that person did not grow up in the masjid. If that person did not grow up in the masjid. A very difficult proposition. That's why some of the commentators of the hadith say that both the categories are mentioned back to back. A young person growing up worshipping Allah and a person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Because when you grow up worshipping Allah, you are probably growing up in the masjid. And when you grow up in the masjid, your heart will become attached to the masjid. You would find peace here. Your friends will be here. You want to come back again and again to the masjid. You would want to move to a place where the masjid is close by. Your life starts to revolve around the masjid. That's what a person whose heart is attached to the masjid, that's what it looks like. But for that to happen, most probably the child had to grow up in the masjid. And here comes the important piece for us. This is the one that's the something we have to consider. We have to, as a community, try our best to make it easy for our kids to grow up in our masjids. I have little kids, alhamdulillah, many people here have little kids. Our goal should be that our little kids should grow up in the masjid, should feel happy in the masjid, should not feel that the masjid is a place where they get yelled at and screamed at and get dirty looks. They should feel happy like this is their second home. And this goes both ways, by the way. I'm not saying that the masjid should be turned into like a gym and the kids are playing soccer in the back while salah is going on. That's not what I'm proposing either. But for the musalli, for the person who's praying, for the leadership, for the imam, all of us have to understand that these kids have to grow up in the masjid for them to have a chance to survive. And we have to all be patient. All of us have to be patient. If some child is making noises while you're praying sunnah, be patient, brother. Allah will reward you for your patience. That's what sabr actually means. Tahammulul adha. That's actually the definition of sabr. You are able to bear some inconveniences. That's what it actually means. So, just bear that a little bit. It's okay. Allah will reward you for that extra. No need to lash out on somebody who's young and maybe a little restless and perhaps a little loud. It's okay. And for the parents who are bringing their children to the masjid, there is an extra responsibility upon you that you have to perhaps bring some things that will keep them occupied, maybe some books, maybe something that they can do in the masjid without causing a ruckus. It has to go both ways. It has to, both parties are responsible for making this work, but it has to work. There is no reason for it not to work, and there can't be any situation where we just give up on our kids not being in the masjid. It has to happen. Because when they grow up in the masjid, inshallah, their hearts will be attached to the masjid. They will grow up around friends that will remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, around families, like-minded families. And that, brothers and sisters, that support of believers is what's necessary to help us ward off the evil. Help us stay away and stave off the temptations. It is critical. These two things go hand in hand. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا أما بعد. One of the people mentioned in this, of the seven people that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ mentioned, and there are more in other ahadith, but in this hadith there are seven, is a man who, a woman in white sim, woman of beauty and a sought out or sought after woman, wants to engage in a shameful act with this person. And now this person, while having that opportunity available, and he is, you know, feeling special about himself because he is getting all this attention, doesn't give into it. He does not give into this temptation. He says, "Inni akhafullah," I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says what Yusuf alayhi salam said, who was sought out, who women literally were throwing themselves at him. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. Locks the doors, pulls him in, ropes him in, locks the door so that she has, nobody can see him, invites him. She's a woman of character and beauty. She's sought out. She has power. People look up to her. But Yusuf alayhi salam says, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. My Lord has taken care of me. I cannot do this. This is the ultimate temptation. The ultimate temptation. Where something that is natural and desirable but haram becomes very easy. And a person, the only thing that stops them is the fear of Allah. That's the only thing. That's why one of the things that a poet said something very beautiful. He says that if you find yourself in a place where there's no one looking, right, and you think that the cover of darkness can hide you, then فَاسْتَحِي مِن نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. That Think about that Allah is looking at you, and be cautious of that, and say to yourself that the one who created the darkness can see me. Remind yourself that the one who created that cover of darkness will see me while I'm doing this. And that goes back to the idea of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing applies to, in the hadith, to the person who when he is by himself and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his eyes swell up with tears. The person who gives charity so secretly nobody knows, only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The common thread between all of these three is the fear of Allah and the desire to only please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. That's the common thread. The sincerity. قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. Say, I was commanded to worship Allah sincerely, only trying to please Him and nobody else. This is in the Quran. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet to proclaim. I'll leave you with something, which is, again, like I said, many things can be said about this hadith. But I'll leave you with an example from the Quran, which is the example of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, whenever he's mentioned in the Quran, he's mentioned very prominently as Hanifan, Musliman, wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. Three prominent characteristics are mentioned of Ibrahim alayhi salam. If not all three in order, two of these three or all three in every place Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran. Hanifan, he was Hanif. Musliman, one who submitted. Wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen, he wasn't a polytheist. It goes without saying, the father of the prophets is not going to be a polytheist, of course. You're right? He is the father of all the prophets that came after him. He is going to be the icon of Tawheed. He is the one who represents Tawheed, alayhi salam. But when Allah mentions this again and again, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَمْ يَكُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, the benefit there, according to the Mufassirin, is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, while knowing everybody will look at him and what he's doing and will follow his way for generations after, his concern was not, his intention was not corrupted even in the slightest. His intention remained to praise and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely. Nobody else. Irrespective, Allah told him, إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, I will make you a leader for all mankind. But that did not corrupt his sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the slightest. And Hanifan, somebody who is, you know, focused, there's many translations of the word Hanif, but one is that he was, you know, not ma'il ila ayy shay akhar. He was only focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His only purpose was to make sure his Lord is pleased with him. That sincerity was what made, that's what Allah describes Ibrahim alayhi salam again and again in the Quran. That's the most prominent description. His sincerity, his ikhlas, his desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everybody else. That, brothers and sisters, is what's required of us for us to be able to achieve the pleasure of Allah in this life and the eternal success in the Akhirah. And for us to be of those seven that I mentioned in this hadith, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be of those who Allah will shade on His on the day there is no shade, that Allah makes us leaders who are just in our families and our communities and wherever the opportunity arises, that we ask Allah to make our kids those who grew up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah to make us and our children people whose hearts are attached to the masjid, our hearts find rest and we feel at home in the masjid. I ask Allah to make us of those who love each other for the sake of Allah. And our connection, the thing that binds us, is the love of Allah and the religion that we all follow. I ask Allah to make us all and our kids and give them the strength to ward off temptations. The temptations of this dunya, the temptations of shamelessness, that are so easy. I ask Allah to give our kids and all of us the strength to do so. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah to make us of those who give lots of charity, that He accepts our charity and we give it so secretively that nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq, the pleasure of remembering Him once, at least once, where the heart, the eyes swell up with tears while we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiy, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin fil awwalina wa fil akhirina wa salli 'ala Muhammadin fil mala'i al-a'la ila yawmid din. Allahumma ahyina 'ala sunnatihi wa amitna 'ala millatihi wahshurna fi zumratihi wasqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma atina nufusana taqwaha wa zakkihha anta khairu man zakkaha, anta waliyyuha wa mawlaha. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina 'adhaban nar wa qina as-salam. Allahumma